This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. State Senator Norm McAllister's rape trial ended abruptly this morning as prosecutors dismissed the charges against him. The trial began yesterday in Franklin County Superior Court and included two felony counts of sexual assault. The trial was expected to be short, but the abrupt dismissal of the charges this morning was a surprise. VPR's Taylor Dobbs was covering the trial and was in the courtroom this morning. He joins us now. Hi, Taylor.
Hi, Jane.
So proceedings were scheduled to resume this morning at 8:30. What happened?
So, actually, it was off to a slow start this morning. The judge wasn't coming to the bench and starting proceedings, so it was unclear what was going on and why the delay was happening. And I also watched the star witness, the person accusing Senator McAllister of these allegations. She left the building about 20 minutes before proceedings started, and it was unclear why. And then once people got in their chairs and the jury came in, the trial was over within seconds when State Prosecutor Diane Wheeler made this statement to the court.
Based on some information that came to light last evening that I've shared with the defense and the court, the state is in a position to have to dismiss counts 5 and 6.
Now, Taylor, counts 5 and 6 are the two counts that McAllister is facing in this trial, right? There are other counts that he faces in a separate trial, which involve a different set of circumstances.
That's right.
So did Wheeler explain what information came to light last night that led them to make this decision?
No, she didn't really make any other statements about that. And then as soon as it was over, she left the court and didn't take questions from the press. But Norm McAllister's defense attorney, Brooks MacArthur, did speak to the press afterwards, and he says the defense cross-examination of the witness yesterday made the state's accusations fall apart.
You heard the testimony yesterday. The case has been dismissed today. I think that speaks for itself. Obviously, we raised a number of credibility issues with the complaining witness.
And the complaining witness in this case is the alleged victim who worked for McAllister on his farm and then later as a legislative intern. And as a general policy, VPR does not disclose the names or identities of alleged victims of sexual assault cases.
Taylor, you were in court yesterday. So what did happen that might have made the state's allegations fall apart so dramatically as Brooks MacArthur alleges there?
So in the morning, the state prosecutor was interviewing the alleged victim and got a lot of very precise details about what happened, what order things happened in, things as detailed as the hair color of the victim at the time of one of the assaults. And then in the afternoon, under cross-examination, the defense pointed out a number of inconsistencies between the morning's testimony about what exactly happened and previous sworn statements made under oath by this accuser who and those statements disagreed with what she'd said in the courtroom. And so they pointed those out and it became clear that there were definitely some inconsistencies.
Can you describe some of them?
Yeah. So, for example, one of the bigger ones was the timing and location of the first sexual assault incident that was alleged. In court yesterday, the accuser said that happened a few weeks after she started working for McAllister on his farm. And it happened in a abandoned barn near the property. And then the defense pointed to a recording of a sworn statement when she said the first assault happened on the first day of employment for McAllister in his house. So the location and timing of that were different. And then there were things like the color of her hair. As I mentioned before, she claimed that her hair was purple at the timing of the first incident in 2012. And the defense used her Facebook account and pointed out her profile pictures and showed that her hair wasn't purple till 2014.
Taylor, the defense also pointed to the fact that she hadn't made accusations before this point.
Yeah, so there was a lot of talk about you had a cell phone, you had a car and friends on Facebook and a bunch of opportunities to raise this issue with authorities or friends or people who could help. And that those opportunities were never taken advantage of. And so the defense, that point never got a chance to land, really, because the trial ended abruptly. But it became clear that they were suggesting that if all of these resources were available and there was so much opportunity to prove what was happening at the time, why didn't that get done?
But, you know, victims advocates will say that, you know, often, first of all, there are faulty memories that victims have, and those are often used to discredit them, but don't necessarily mean that the events didn't occur. And then that often a victim's silence is taken as a point to discredit a victim, you know, or to say nothing happened because clearly you didn't mention it before. You know, what did you observe in the courtroom yesterday that about that kind of argument?
Well, that definitely seemed to be something along the lines of what the defense was pursuing. Again, we didn't really get to see the whole thing play out because it ended abruptly. But they definitely were pointing out a number of times of those discrepancies that I talked about, and also times when the accuser went back to spend time with Norm McAllister and even volunteered on his reelection campaign. And they said that that's, you know, suggests that maybe she wasn't too upset about whatever had happened before. Her explanation of those discrepancies was pretty straightforward. And here she is yesterday on the stand.
I'll put it this way. I remember the bad things that happened, but I don't remember them in order. I remember bits and pieces and things that just pop in my head, if that explains it.
And yesterday's proceedings ended with the defense still questioning that witness. And presumably today, the prosecution could have taken the chance to clarify their case and maybe drive that point home a little bit more. But instead, they dismissed the charges as soon as proceedings started this morning. And it's important to note here that that dismissal was with prejudice, which means that these allegations can't be brought again against McAllister.
Taylor, McAllister's arrest at the State House a year ago in May was pretty dramatic. And we know that sexual assault allegations often don't even go to trial. The events of the last year seem to have public opinion, at least, really forming against McAllister. And all of that makes the dismissal this morning pretty shocking. So was there any indication before this morning that the case really wasn't as going very well for the prosecution?
Well, it was definitely clear during the cross-examination yesterday that that was a setback for prosecutors. And there was also throughout the day yesterday some confusion about witnesses. A number of people, including lawmakers and journalists, had been subpoenaed to testify before the court, and they were released with really no explanation. I spoke with Senator Jeanette White at lunch yesterday, and she said she had been released that morning but had no idea why. And there was also some speculation because the prosecutors were relying on testimony from journalists, which typically isn't done, that some people speculated that maybe that was evidence that their case was a little bit weak.
So what happens next? We mentioned at the beginning of the interview that there is another case against McAllister.
So the court scheduled a status conference for about a month from now where both sides are going to meet with the court and figure out a schedule for the coming trial. Those charges have not been dropped, and it's currently expected that that trial is going to go on as expected. But at this point, we're waiting for that status conference and then maybe a trial later this summer.
And that's for one charge of felony sexual assault and three prohibited acts. And McAllister is proclaiming his innocence in that charge as well.
That's right.
VPR's Taylor Dobbs. Thanks, Taylor.
Thank you.
We have more on this story. Go to VPR.net for all of our coverage.